Hello. Today we're going to review another radio for you, and it's the ITT Tour Report 220. And with me in the studio to assess its merits is John Wilson of the Science Unit. Well, John, I understand you've been putting this radio through some pretty thorough testing, even seeing how it takes some pretty rough handling. But just looking at it for a start, it's rather impressive looking, isn't it? It's rather glamorous. It's rather like a slab of gold bullion or something. But
well,
what do you make of it?
It's sprayed gold on the surface, but underneath I have to say that it's made out of plastic. Not that that's any snag, because, as you implied, I have dropped it and it didn't break. But the gold spray does tend to wear off with fairly heavy use, and for a radio that's designed for people travelling the world, that certainly could reduce its glamorous appeal. But you asked me what it looks like. A fairly conventional portable radio, about the size of a large book. It weighs 1.5 kilograms, which is fairly heavy for something that you're going
that
to put in your
heavy,
your suitcase. But it has a carrying handle at the top, which makes it fairly easy to carry. And all the controls are on the front, and indeed the digital display, which tells you the frequency or even the time of day.
Is it rather less confusing, do you think, than it appears? I mean, as I look at it now, it's covered with rather glittery buttons with lots of numbers. It's digital, as you say. Do you think that one can make one's way around it pretty easily?
I think until you've read the instruction book and worked out what the various buttons do, it's pretty confusing. It's not like the ordinary radio where you've got a tuning knob, a volume knob, and an on-off switch. It has, as you say, quite a lot of buttons that look a bit more like those of a pocket calculator. But those buttons are designed to enter in the frequencies of the stations you want to get. And once you've found your way around it, it's almost easier than a conventionally tuned set. If you wanted to listen to the World Service, for example, on 648 kilohertz, then you simply punch in 648 with the wave band and up it comes straight away. No fiddling around, no trying to get it precisely on tune. So, as I say, once you've become familiar with the way it works, it's actually easier to use than any other set.
Now, would you think that you had to have expert knowledge of all the frequencies before you can actually get the station that you want?
Well, it does obviously help if you can go straight to it. But if you're the sort of listener who likes to scan around and just see what's going on the band, you can actually do it with this set because it has an automatic tuning facility. If you select a frequency and then want to see what is further up the band, then you simply press a button which says tuning up, and the set will automatically tune up until it finds the next station that's worth listening to and will stop. So
yes,
you can leave it to do the tuning all by itself, in effect.
Yes, and I would have thought that was rather important, because for most lovers of radio, the great thing is to be able to travel up and down just to see what you're going to come across. And looking at it directly, it doesn't appear to offer that facility.
That's right, but you do get a bonus when you set it in this automatic mode, because when it eventually does lock onto a station, it tells you what the frequency is. And having got it, you can store it in any one of the set's 10 memories. So if you want to come back to the same station, you don't need to enter it a second time. You just press the button in question and up will come the World Service or whatever you want to listen to. And obviously the tuning is highly accurate. There's no danger of being off tune.
And what's its reception actually like, for instance, its shortwave capability?
Our engineers at Caversham, which is the BBC's listening station, tested this out, and the performance figures are very good indeed. Now, that isn't because this is a digital set. One should be able to get these sort of performance figures with any set, but it just so happens that this one is especially good in terms of its sensitivity and also in terms of its ability to discriminate against stations that you don't want.
Can you tell me how it actually sounds, John?
This is unfortunately something that we can't demonstrate over the air because we're clearly affected by the sort of reception you get wherever you happen to be. But I have to say that for a radio of this size and weight, its sound quality isn't quite as good as one would expect, and I think the reason is quite simply that its loudspeaker is fairly small because the digital electronics and the batteries take up a disproportionately large amount of space. So I think if you're after a hi-fi set, this is certainly not the one for you.
What about parts of the world where you can't get batteries?
Well, I should say this set does use 4 C-type cells for the main power for the set and a couple of AA batteries to provide the backup for the clock and the memory, which obviously have to go on working even when the set's turned off. Now, this set, in common with all digitally tuned sets, is very heavy on batteries. For those who know, it consumes 105 milliamps, even with the volume turned well down, which is probably about 10 times the consumption of a conventionally tuned set. So even with a fairly good set of batteries, which in Britain might cost about £2, you're going to get no more than about 30 hours of continuous listening. So if you rely on batteries, and batteries are hard to come by, this could be a fairly expensive set to run.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you can run it from the electrical mains, either 110 volt or 240 volt, or you can run it from an external 6-volt battery. I mean, it could be a vehicle battery, for example. So if you have alternative sources of power, then this radio really does come into its own.
Does it cover all the wave bands that people are likely to want?
At first sight, you might think it does, because it covers the VHF band for local reception, the medium wave band, the long wave band, and 16 of the official ITU shortwave bands. It doesn't incidentally cover the new 13 megahertz band, because not many stations used it, and it's not officially in use yet. But from the point of view of listeners who want to pick up the World Service, or even Radio Moscow, Radio Peking, or Radio Netherlands, there are quite a number of signals, quite a number of transmissions that are outside the official ITU bands, and which this set will not receive. Now, I personally think that's a major disadvantage, and I can't see any reason why the set should not have included these frequencies, but there you have it, for better or worse, it doesn't.
Who would you think this set was actually for?
Well, clearly, with a name like the Touro port, it's intended for travellers, but as I've said, there are disadvantages for travellers in the shape of its weight and its size. In other respects, it's excellent, because you only need to take a book of frequencies and you can instantly punch these in, and with its high sensitivity, you're going to be able to receive any station that's going fairly well. And its digital stability and the clock which is built in, and the alarm facility, very useful for travellers if you're ever stuck in a hotel and you want to be sure of waking up. Things like that do commend it to the traveller. And I have to say, too, that it's very well engineered and its performance is excellent. But it is very expensive if you don't need the digital facility, and in view of the limited tuning range, there may be those who found that a major disadvantage.
Well, what about the price then, John?
Well, it costs £139 in Britain, and that is one of the cheapest digitally tuned sets which you can get. But on the other hand, for no more than about £40, you can get a set of equivalent performance that uses conventional tuning. So if you want the digital facility, it's cheap. If you don't want it, then it's expensive. So it's rather difficult to answer that question.
So, to sum up then, John?
Well, I may have appeared to sound fairly critical of this set, but it's actually a very good set. It's strongly made, it's sensitive, it's robust, it works, it's well engineered, and for people who are prepared to pay the price, I think it does offer good value.
And it's extremely nice looking as well. Thank you very much, John Wilson. We've been reviewing the ITT Touro Port 220. Its official price here in Britain is £139. And if you'd like a transcript of this discussion, please write to us here at Waveguide, BBC, Bush House, London. For now, goodbye.